Shalom Mishpacha. Shalom, family. Mishpacha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpacha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people that are one new man in Messiah Yeshua. Getting ready, Mishpacha, to blow the grandest shofar, or the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone everywhere to hear the good news. We want everyone everywhere to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest, by way of telephone from their home in Charlotte, North Carolina, is Clarice and Ronnie Holden. And in their own words, they're just regular, ordinary people. But Ronnie found himself fighting for his life. And God began to download in his wife, Clarice, how to battle the unseen world. He was literally given 3 hours to live. He was in a horrible auto accident. He should not have lived. And while his wife and her friend and the church was interceding for him, he was actually in a coma for some 21 days, and he had a visitation from some angels. He also had the angel of death show up, and they stopped the angel of death from taking him. What happened next, Ronnie?
Well, one night I was on the boat. They took me down to the boat.
The angels literally took him on this boat. Okay.
And I spent the night there. It was like a 100-foot schooner. I could see it from a window at the hospital. And I had all this fruit to eat. I had cold water, ice water to drink, because I hadn't had anything to eat or drink in almost a month. And they just took care of me. And one night, I think it's when the doctors told my wife I weren't going to live through that night. They came to me, they told me, said, "We're getting ready to leave and make a trip to the other side. If you're ready to go, we'll take you, and you won't never hurt again when you get there. And the voyage may get rough on the way, but we'll pack you in wax. And when you get there, you'll never hurt again." And my wife, she said, as she had been hollered at me, shouting at me to fight. I had to fight. I had to come out of this. And I told him, I said, "My wife is at the hospital waiting for me. And she really wants me to come back. I really need to go there." And so I decided not to go. And, you know, I don't know anything about being given a choice to live or die, but I think. And I chose to live.
Okay, put your wife on. And I'm so glad that he chose to live, because I wouldn't have this book in my hands right now. Clarice, it sounds like you were not going to give up no matter what. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Now, what advice would you give someone that is listening to us right now who has been given a death sentence by a doctor with, say, cancer? What would you tell that person?
Get a hold of the Word of God and claim every promise that He gave you. And go into a no-doubt zone. I had no doubt around me. I would not let anybody say or think another thing around me. Several people came to the hospital, to see him and to see me. But if I felt like they were not right with me, I wouldn't let them in. There was one day, Sid, I had gone down into the cafeteria, and this lady, a very well-dressed lady, came over and put her tray down beside me, and she started talking, and she says, "I can't help but notice you're in the same boat I'm in." She said, "Your husband came in about the same time mine did, and they seem that they're in the intensive care," and I'd not seen the lady before. And she says, you know, "They're telling me my husband won't make it." And I looked at her, and I grabbed my tray, and I got up. I says, "Ma'am, I don't know about you, but mine is going to make it, and I just can't sit here." And I left, and I just knew that I could not even entertain a thought of him not being well. And I just know that if there's someone out there today that's been given a sentence by a doctor that you're not going to make it, remember, our Heavenly Father, He is in control, and He will help you through this. He did me, and I know He is not a respecter of persons.
Tell me about the day that your husband was ready to leave the hospital because he was healed.
That was a glorious day. Our niece's husband came, and he picked him up, and we were coming home. And our sheriff had actually wanted to have an escort. But I had asked someone if this lady that I had met in the hospital, if she could sing Amazing Grace. And she said she would. And when he was rolled out, the whole sidewalk was lined with doctors, nurses, physical therapists, janitors, everything. And she started singing Amazing Grace. There was not a dry eye out there. We could have had an altar call, but I know that it was only God's amazing grace that brought us through this.
Now, just out of curiosity, you told me about a specific doctor, Dr. Maxwell, that at first would not even agree with you that your husband would live. Mm-hmm. Have you talked to him since your husband was healed?
Oh, I certainly have. A year later, he called and wanted to come down, and he brought his wife to meet us. And he brought his camera, and he wanted to have his picture taken with us. And he said he watched Ronnie as Ronnie moved around. He just could not believe it. He was amazed. And his wife said to me, she says he never brought home any patients. He never talked about his patients. And she said he talked about us every day. And he says, honey, I'm so worried. She says, how's Mr. Holden doing? He said, I don't know. He says, he's more dead than he is alive. But his wife is who I'm worried about. He says, I go in there at 3 o'clock in the morning. She says, Dr. Maxwell, doesn't he look wonderful?
But he didn't look wonderful. Why would you say that?
Because I didn't see him as he was. I had faith. And I can't, you know, I had to look beyond that because I knew he was going to be healed. And I know that sounds crazy, but that's what I saw.
Sounds like faith to me.
It was faith. But that doctor, he says, you know, I will never forget you. He had our picture taken with him. And he was the head of the chief surgeon for trauma surgeon. And the other doctors, when Ronnie went back for a checkup, one of the other doctors came in first, and he looked at Ronnie, and he walked out, and we heard him talk. He says, I got to go get Dr. So-and-so. He says, he doesn't even look like the same man. And then another doctor would come in, and then they said, well, we've got to go get Dr. Clancy. He doesn't, they're not going to believe this. And they said, now we got to go get Dr. Maxwell. And they walked in and they looked at Ronnie and they said, this is not the same man. But that was the man I saw.
Last thought.
That is so important that you do not doubt, that you will hold tight to what the Word of God says and just set yourself in agreement with that Word and hold on. And don't look to the left and don't look to the right. Look straight ahead and don't be deterred by nothing or nobody.
And Ronnie Holden, I'd like the last word from you.
So I just like to share with everybody what God told me about his mercy. I didn't deserve even to live. I didn't deserve what I have. But God had mercy on me. You know, all the things I've done in my life, as many as I've been, I was a scoundrel. And God took mercy on me and healed me. You know, all you have to do is call out. It's so simple that some people just look over it. You call out to God, and God will answer your prayer. He answered mine. I'm alive and well. I'm a miracle. You know, I know God's power. I know God's peace.
I'm sorry. We're out of time. Are you fighting the battle of your life? Or do you know someone that has been given a death sentence? Do you know someone that is so weary that they're about ready to give up? It does not have to be physical disease. It could be mental oppression. It could be family problems. It could be drug problems. It could be addictions of any kind. But I believe that no matter how hopeless, how impossible your situation is, it could not be as hopeless it could not be as impossible as Ronnie Holden's situation. And when you read step by step, I mean, I literally believe that this is a manual on how to fight in the invisible world. You see, your enemy is not the disease. Your enemy is not your finances. Your enemy is not the addictions. Your enemy is in the invisible realm. And when you can conquer your enemy in the invisible realm, those other lying vanities, that's what the Bible calls it, lying symptoms are going to skedoodle. They're going to leave. That's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will leave. Do you need an injection of hope, an injection of faith? Of course you do. And I believe this book was written just for you or someone that you love that's going through a hopeless situation. The book's title, Fighting Death and Other Desperate Battles, available for a donation of $16. Shabbat broadcast. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his countenance to fall upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord grant you his shalom, his completeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. In the name of the Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach Tzidkenu, Jesus the Messiah, our righteousness.
Yivarechech Adonai ve'yishmarech. Ya'ir Adonai panav elech v'chonech. Yisa Adonai panav elech ve'asem lech shalom.
If you would like to receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521, or call our order-only line, 1-800-548-1918. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-548-1918. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a cassette tape, or CD, of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. To see our television show, It's Supernatural, or archives of our radio and TV shows, look us up on the web at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org.